سيقول لك المخلفون من الأعراب. Those of the Bedouins who lagged behind will say to you, our possessions and our families occupied us, so ask forgiveness for us. Now the significant word here is who lagged behind. How many times is it that we stay behind from obeying Allah out of sheer laziness? And what's the excuse? Oh, my children keep me busy, and my family and my household chores don't let me get away. So this is an excuse that's not new. Those of the Bedouins who lagged behind will say to you, our possessions and our families occupied us, so ask forgiveness for us. They say with their tongues what is not in their hearts. These were just excuses. Say, who then has any power at all to intervene on your behalf with Allah if He intends you hurt or intends you benefit? بَلْ كَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. No, but Allah is fully aware of what it is that you do. No, but you thought that the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the believers would never return to their families, and that was made beautiful in your hearts. The true reason was their fright and their cowardice, and you thought an evil thought, and you became a people destroying themselves. وَمَن لَمْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whoever does not believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People say, oh, is belief in Allah enough? No. Iman in Allah and His Messenger. Then indeed we have prepared for the disbelievers a blazing fire. Do you doubt that? Does that seem unfair? وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Remember, who is it that you're taking on? To Allah belongs the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth. He forgives whom He wills, and He punishes whom He wills. He alone is Malik Yawm al-Din. He's not given us, any of us, this authority. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Those who lagged behind will say, when you set forth to take the spoils, and this is a reference to the Battle of Khaybar, which was a very easy battle for the Muslims, allow us to follow you. The hypocrites will try and come forward for this, because they will see that this is an easier war to fight. They want to change Allah's words. Tell them, you shall not follow us. Thus Allah has said beforehand. Then they will say, no, you envy us. No, but they do not understand except a little. Say to the Bedouins who lag behind, you shall be called to fight against a people given to great warfare. Then you shall fight them or they shall surrender. Then if you obey, Allah will give you a fair reward. But if you turn away as you turned away before, يُعَذِّبْكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. He will punish you with a painful torment. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ. No blame or sin is there upon the blind. Nor is there blame upon the lame. Nor is there blame upon the sick that they go not for fighting. See, Allah looks at the sincerity in a person's heart. But at the same time, we find there were Muslims that despite their physical disabilities, they were still eager to take part in battle. We look at Amr ibn al-Jamuh radiallahu anhu, who was lame, an old man. He had four sons who were grown up, and they were taking part in the Battle of Uhud. And they said, don't fight, O father, because you're lame. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet also told him that you don't need to fight because you're lame. And he said, don't you understand? I want to enter Jannah with this lame leg of mine. I want to limp into paradise. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, He will admit him to gardens underneath which rivers flow. And whoever turns back, He will punish him with a painful torment. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Again Allah reminds us of that scene of iman, of sincerity. Indeed Allah was pleased with the believers when they gave the pledge to you under the tree. See, what is all our life about? Trying to please Allah. And these believers were so fortunate. One pledge and Allah says, indeed Allah was pleased with you. We achieved something we spent our whole lives trying to gain. Allah was pleased with the believers when they gave the pledge to you under the tree. Why? He knew what was in their hearts. It was sincerity. They weren't just saying words, not just eloquent words and not prepared to do anything. He knew what was in their hearts. So He sent down peace upon them and He rewarded them with a near victory and abundant spoils that they will capture. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is almighty, all wise. Allah has promised you abundant spoils that you will capture, and he has hastened for you this, and he has restrained the hands of men from you, that it may be a sign for the believers, وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمًا, and that he may guide you to the straight path, and other victories which are not yet within your power. Indeed, Allah encompasses them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا, and Allah is all able to do all things. See, this surah started with the pact of Hudaybiyah, when the Muslims feared loss and the Muslims saw humiliation, and look how Allah is rewarding them. That no, don't be taken in by the superficial appearance of things. Nothing but victory awaits you from now. And if those who disbelieve fight against you, they would certainly have turned their backs. Then they would have found neither a protector nor a helper. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ, that has been the way of Allah already with those who passed away before, and you will not find any change in the way of Allah. And he it is who has withheld their hands from you and your hands from them in the midst of Makkah, after he had made you victors over them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا, and Allah is watching what you do. They are those who disbelieved and hindered you from the sacred mosque, and detained the sacrificial animals from reaching their place of sacrifice. One of the most painful things for the Muslims was that they had to turn back, that they couldn't perform Umrah. So Allah says, I know how much it hurt you. Had there not been believing men and believing women whom you did not know, that you may kill them, and on whose account a sin would have been committed by you without your knowledge, that Allah might bring into His mercy whom He wills, if they had been apart, we would indeed have punished those of them who disbelieved with a painful torment. And this is very beautiful. Allah says that what was the reason that Allah didn't simply tell you to kill them or to fight against the Meccans and force your way in? That there were many secret Muslims in Makkah of whom the Muslims did not know of. So maybe if they had been fighting in Makkah, maybe some innocent people would have died as well. When those who disbelieved had placed in their hearts pride and haughtiness, the pride of the days of ignorance. Pride belongs to ignorance. And Allah sent down His peace upon His messenger and upon the believers, and made them cling to the word of Allah consciousness, and they were worthy of it. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا, and Allah is the all-knower of everything. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ, indeed Allah has fulfilled the vision which He showed to His messenger. See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had had a dream that they were doing Umrah, and after this happened the Muslims were shocked, and some of them questioned, but surely a Prophet's dreams are true. How is it that his dream wasn't fulfilled? So Allah responds to them with love and reassurance. Indeed, Allah shall fulfill the vision which He had showed to His messenger. Certainly you shall enter the sacred mosque, if Allah wills, in peace. Some having your head shaved and some having your hair cut short, having no fear. He knew what you did not know, and He granted besides that a near victory. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق, it is Allah who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make it superior to all religions. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, and all sufficient is Allah's witness. Even if people don't acknowledge, even if people don't accept, Allah is enough as a witness. مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and those who are with Him. We too are amongst those who are with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who support his cause, are harsh against the disbelievers, and merciful amongst themselves. And we are the opposite. We are harsh, we despise the Muslims, and we suck up to the non-Muslims. You see them ruk'an, sujjadan, bowing, and falling down, prostrate, seeking bounty from Allah and His good pleasure. Bowing down before Allah, doing sajda and qiyam, especially in the hours of the night when all are sleeping. Allah loves tahajjud, and Allah loves those who do tahajjud. Allah says, سِيْمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, their marks are on their faces from the traces of sajda. Now this could refer to the mark that some people have on their foreheads through excess of sajdas, but it's not just that. It's the noor. It's the radiance on the faces of people who regularly read tahajjud with love and sincerity for Allah and who try and obey Allah in all others. See, we find that once the Prophet ﷺ's grandson, Hazrat Hassan, was asked, how is it that people who spend much of the night in prayer look so beautiful? And you know what he said? He said, it is because they have been alone with the All-Merciful, who covers them with light from His light. You see their marks on their faces. This noor, this radiance comes from Allah and Allah alone. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَةِ This is their description in the Torah. And the description in the Injil is like a sown seed which sends forth its shoot, then makes it strong and becomes thick and it stands straight on its stem. كَلِمَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٌ A pure word is like a pure tree, a beautiful evergreen tree, giving shade to all, standing firm, not falling, not faltering, delighting the sowers that he may enrage the disbelievers with them. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا Allah has promised those among them who believe and do good deeds forgiveness and an awesome reward. Surah Al-Hujurat Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ This is an amazing surah. It's a surah in which Allah teaches us how to behave towards people, outwardly and inwardly. It's a surah that teaches us about inner beauty, about inner purification, about purifying our behavior towards Muslims, purifying our thoughts about Muslims, and our attitudes towards people. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have iman. A companion once said that when I hear Allah saying, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, I become alert. You know, like someone calls out your name and you instinctively turn around to see, who's calling me? If it's the voice of someone you love, you turn immediately to hear what is it that this person is going to tell you. Now this is Allah, Malikul Muluk, and He's addressing all of us. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who have iman, who say the kalima la ilaha illallah. What is it that Allah wants of us? Do not be hasty before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's presence. Wattaqullah and fear Allah. Indeed Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Now what does this mean? What is the meaning of this ayat? The surah opens with Allah's command to the believers not to interrupt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's conversations or to contradict him. Now you might say, well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no longer amidst us. So how can we apply this ayat to ourselves? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu added a greater dimension to this verse and said, it means that do not say anything which goes against the Quran or the Sunnah. See, for instance, sometimes we let our culture take precedence over a command of the Quran. For instance, let's look at an example from our own society. We all know that generally women are deprived of their inheritance rights. So if you ever try telling men that and you say, well, it's in the Quran, they know it's in the Quran. Yet they say, well, what will the women do with these inheritance rights? And it's always been done. See, when we give our culture or our own desires precedence over Allah's command and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's command, then that is blasphemy and that negates our iman. And it's not just about Allah, it's not just in the Quran. Like people say, oh, well, it's not in the Quran, is it? No, we find it applies to the Sunnah as well. Do you know that Hazrat Umar did not like his wife going to the mosque? He didn't feel comfortable with it. But he did not forbid her. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ had once said, do not forbid Allah's maid servants from going to the mosque. Now how many of us would do that? That if we're not comfortable with something, but when we read Allah's command and we read the Prophet ﷺ's command, and we give that precedence over our own desires and our own cultures. Wattaqullah and be conscious of Allah. Don't come forward with your own interpretation of deen. Don't come forward with your own interpretation of sunnah. Doing what you will, following your own whims. Wattaqullah. Be careful. Be conscious that Allah is watching you. Inna Allaha Samiun Alim. Allah can hear your excuses. He can hear whatever it is that you're claiming, that no, this has always been done and we can't change it now. عليم. He knows the truth of the situation. يا أيها الذين آمنوا. Again Allah repeats. So that we remain attentive, we remain alert, we don't sit back and relax. O you who have iman, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Now this is a natural sequence of ayat number 1. Allah says, don't interpret it according to your own whims and desires. And now Allah says, don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does this mean? We look at the words of the verse. How do they apply to us? Do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when we hear a hadith which we know is accurate, we accept it. Many people nowadays say, well, the word haram has not been used for wine in the Quran. And you tell them it's been used in the Sunnah, they say, well, it's not in the Quran, is it? For any Muslim to take his own interpretation of the Quran and place it before the hadith, this is what Allah is talking about. Don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. And do not speak aloud to him in talk as you speak aloud to one another. And Allah says, لَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. Now this also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that don't raise your voices near the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find that when we look at the great scholars of Islam, we find the reverence and the deference they had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just unparalleled. See, not just the companions who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, this delegate from, I think it was one of the Roman emperors, came, and when he saw the way the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adored him, he said, never have I seen such love. Never. Now we find that amongst the great scholars, people like Imam Malik, that on one occasion, Imam Malik was relating a hadith, and his face started turning yellow. And the people couldn't understand what was wrong, but he continued. And afterwards, they realized that he had been stung by a scorpion. Yet he kept on speaking out of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you know he never wore shoes in Medina? And when he would come to teach a hadith, he would wear his best clothes. And people would say, isn't this vanity? He said, no, this is love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We cannot even understand such an attitude nowadays. We who just make fun of everything. We make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah. We make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ahadith. We make fun of the fact that he had so many wives, na'uzubillah. Allah says, لا تجهروا له بالقول. Don't treat him like an ordinary human being, someone that is on your level. Who is he? He is خاتم النبيين. He is the seal of all the prophets. What is the danger of all this? أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. Lest your deeds be wiped out and you don't even realize. Now the word used here is wiped out. You know, like when a virus attacks your computer and everything goes. تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. The companions used to weep when they would read this ayat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said that avoid loud talk. And he said, if you get angry, be quiet. This ayat is teaching us respect and courtesy and behavior towards people. And he once said that raised voices are amongst the signs of the last day. And he said voices will be raised aloud in the mosques. And tribes will be led by their most sinful members. And look at our mosque today. Fighting going on, killing taking place. Now the key word here is وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That is the true tragedy. You don't even realize it. Now how frightening that you're doing good deeds, you're reading prayers, you're giving zakat, you're reading the Quran, and you're complacently relying upon that. And one word against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or one word which is displeasing to Allah. And on that day of judgment, when we reach there, confidently relying upon our good deeds, and you discover an empty slate, أَمْتَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Don't you realize how serious it is? Your deeds could be wiped out. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You don't even realize it. The Prophet ﷺ once said, a man may inadvertently speak a word pleasing to Allah, because of which Jannah is destined for him. And another may recklessly speak a word displeasing to Allah, because of which he will be cast in hellfire further than the distance between heaven and earth. May Allah protect us and may Allah teach us to guard our speech. Every word we utter could be for us or against us. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And we don't even realize it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. For them is forgiveness and a beautiful reward. People who hear the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who accept his verdict as the final verdict, Allah says, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. For them is forgiveness and a beautiful reward. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ. Indeed, those who call you from behind the dwellings, most of them have no sense. See, I mentioned earlier that this surah teaches us courtesy. What happened was that whenever the Bedouins wanted to speak to the Prophet ﷺ, they'd just run around his apartment bellowing out, Ya Muhammad, ukhruj, come out, O Muhammad, come out, O Muhammad, ﷺ. And this was so displeasing to Allah that Allah says, those who call out to you from behind the dwellings, they're just not using their brains. And had they had patience till you could have come out to them, it would have been better for them. Wallahu ghafoorur raheem. And Allah is forgiving. Allah is most merciful. See, we can apply this ayah to ourselves as well, that when someone starts serving Islam or any Muslim leader, people assume that he's become public property and they can ring him up all times of the day, they can bug him whatever time they want for their problems. Allah does not like such selfishness. Allah says, no, leave them with their privacy. When they come out to you, then ask them your problems. Wallahu ghafoorur raheem. If you've done this in the past, Allah will forgive you as long as you desist. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Again Allah says, wake up people, become alert. O you who believe, if Allah comes to you with any news, verify it, lest you should harm people in ignorance. We find that later on, all members of the Mustalik tribe were freed. This was a Jewish tribe. And the Prophet ﷺ invited the leader of the tribe to accept Islam. And then he told him to invite the rest of his tribe to Islam and collect zakat from the Muslims. So this leader, Al-Harith, agreed. And he asked the Prophet ﷺ to send a messenger to collect the zakat. Now when the time came and the messenger still hadn't come, Al-Harith feared that maybe the Prophet ﷺ was angry with him. So he sent a delegation to the Prophet to find out the reason for the delay. In the meantime, the Prophet ﷺ had sent a Muslim by the name of Al-Walid bin Uqba to collect the zakat. Now on his way, Walid heard that a group from Bani Mustalik had set out. Without bothering to find out the truth of the situation, he became frightened and he returned to the Prophet ﷺ and exaggerated and said, you know, Harith threatened to kill me and he said, I'm not going to give the zakat. So the Prophet ﷺ was naturally angry and he sent a group of companions to deal with Harith. When they met and they returned to the Prophet ﷺ, he asked Al-Harith, why did you refuse to pay the zakat and kill my messengers? And Al-Harith replied, by Allah, I did not see him. I never even met this man and he's just made it up. Now this incident was very important because Allah says, O you who believe, if a liar comes to you with any news, verify it, lest you should harm people in ignorance. And afterwards, you become regretful for what you have done. Now we can apply this ayah to ourselves, that when someone comes to us with a piece of news, we need to look at the nature of the person who's telling us. See, we're a people who adore spreading false rumors, and we're a people who love exaggerating. We hear one thing and we'll add 10 things onto it. Allah says, if a liar, not if a non-Muslim or a kafir or a hypocrite, if a liar, someone you know is unreliable, comes to you with a piece of news, first verify the truth. Someone comes to you and says, you know, so-and-so was saying this about you, don't just go up in flames, find out the truth first. Lest you should harm people in ignorance, lest your relationship is ruined forever, and afterwards you become regretful for what you have done. Allah teaches the Muslims not to be hasty and impetuous. It says in a hadith, impatience is from shaitan. So the Muslim is supposed to be calm and deliberate in all his actions. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And know that among you there is the Messenger of Allah. If he were to obey you in much of the matter, you would surely be in trouble. But Allah has endeared the faith to you and has beautified it in your hearts and has made disbelief, wickedness and disobedience hateful to you. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. Such are they who are the rightly guided. Now Allah is telling us that people, deen is not about your desires. It's not about the way you want to interpret it. It's about Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone can interpret this deen for us. See, people love to introduce new things into Islam, and when you tell them about it, they become offended. For instance, you tell people that the Prophet ﷺ never celebrated his birthday. This custom of Eid Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a bid'ah, it's an innovation. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said once, whoever introduces something new into this religion of ours, which does not belong in it, will have it rejected. Now if people are sitting there at that milad, chanting naat and thinking that this is a part of Islam, and this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, this is wrong. And we need to know that. And we find that many of the naats are mushrikana. Then the people stand up for the salam and they say, oh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's spirit is passing by. Allah says, if the Prophet were to follow you in much of the matter, if your desires were what it was all about, you would surely be in trouble. Everyone with their own slant, with their own bias, their own prejudices. But Allah has made the faith beautiful to you. And He has beautified it in your hearts. Now let's think about it. Let's everyone analyze themselves. Is Iman something beautiful for us? Is our Iman something precious? Something that we need to value? Something that we need to cherish? As Allah tells us, Hafizu ala salawat, protect your prayers. Is that how we view Iman? Or is it more like a burden? This oppressive burden that now I know I have to act upon this, and now I know that I have to act upon this as well. It's a matter of attitude. See, Allah doesn't say that Allah knows that you're obeying Him. Allah says, Allah has endeared the faith to you. So we need to purify our hearts as well. At-taqwa hahuna. This is where Allah consciousness is found. In your heart. And Allah has beautified it. And He has made disbelief, wickedness and disobedience hateful to you. Are we like that? Is that what our loves and our hatreds are about? Ulaika humur rashidun. For such people are the rightly guided. This is a grace from Allah and His favor. And Allah is all-knowing. Allah is all-wise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, there are three qualities for which anyone who has them will experience the sweetness of Iman. What are these? He who loves a human being for Allah's sake alone, and he who has as great a hatred of returning to disbelief after Allah has rescued him from it as he has of being cast into the fire. Is that how we view Iman? And Allah goes on to say, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. If two parties among the believers fall to fighting, then make peace between them both. Now we can understand this ayat on an individual scale. Whether your friends are fighting, or your college mates are fighting, or your colleagues are fighting, or a collective group of Muslims are fighting, or a Muslim country is fighting another Muslim country. If two parties among the believers fall to fighting, what's the first step? فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. Make peace between them both. That is the first consideration. But if one of them outrages against the other, then fight against the one, that which outrages, till it complies with the command of Allah. One of them supposes, determined, no, I'm not going to accept and I'm going to go on fighting, then we have to check that oppression. Not that we sit by and watch Muslims kill one another. See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, "Unsurahaka zaliman aw mazluman." Help your brother, whether he is doing wrong or being wrong. And the people were amazed and said, "How do we help the zalim? How do we help someone who is doing wrong?" And he said, "By stopping him in his wrong. And then, if it complies, then make reconciliation between them justly." Now, there are three steps. The first step is that you make peace between them. Second step is, if one party is not agreeing, then you force them to agree. And the third step is that peace is made justly, not on the basis of your prejudices or your dislikes. See, when we fight someone, we forget all their good points. Allah says, Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin. Be just, because truly Allah loves those who are just.